Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and this beer pitches our tents.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we are the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading The God of the Woods by Liz Moore. And I'm starting
also known as The Silence of the Lambs. Oh, yeah. Wait, no, sorry, Freudian slip.
God that of the does Woods. Happen at one point, yeah. Have the campers stopped screaming? Kids go missing in this book because they're at camp. And they're young. You could say they're barely aged. Oh, I have to open my wife's wine. Everyone's drinking. So this is from Finback, and this is Barrel-Aged Coconut Drip, which is definitely a weird sex move you could do to somebody. And then it's a 12% alcohol stout with coconut and I think peanut butter. But they let me buy a keg of it, and I'm just going to die. I don't know what's going to happen.
How strong is it?
Oh, my God. Only 12%.
Oh, only.
But if I pour it and I take a sip, like, that's good stuff. Let me top that up. And then I just stand in front of the keg for 15 minutes. And then I wake up somewhere in the house. It's great. It's kind of like going to camp when your counselor roofies you.
Time travel.
Just waking up in other places. So this was recommended to us by a listener. So thanks, Jim.
Not so much recommended.
Can we read what they wrote?
He said people really liked the book, but he thought it was a big steaming pile of bear shit, I believe is what he called it.
Something like that, yeah.
Which now I get.
Yeah, I get the joke now. Mm-hmm.
Was this like one of those like summer thrillers or some shit? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was a popular book last year. 2024.
So. And here we are, timely as ever.
Well, you know, we had to let the hype die down. We didn't want to seem too eager. So this book takes place in like three different timelines.
It takes place in like 97 different timelines.
I think it's like really three timelines of 400 characters. So is that 1,200 altogether? I'm not sure if they were each, because some of them are in both time, all the timelines.
Hmm.
And I'm not even sure. I forgot some of their names. Like I'd be halfway through a section. I'm like, oh, that's not the same person I thought it was. Because they're all the fucking same characters. But the main plot is 1975 in August in upstate New York at a summer camp. Barbara Van Laar, which is a name that it will get harder for me to say as I get drunker. It's just too similar. Barbara Van Laar.
And blah, blah, blah.
She's missing from her cabin. And normally in the 1970s, when a kid went missing from camp, they were just like, good, one less kid. But it just so happens that she's the daughter of the rich people who own the camp. And she's punk. Even though I don't know how much of that was a thing in 1975.
Well, the way they kept describing her was like clearly goth, but at the like a few chapters, and they're like, "Oh, she's something called punk." It's like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess not wearing like black eyeshadow and ripped leggings, ripped stockings." You know, I don't know.
Or wearing Hot Topic.
She has a lot of safety pins. She has even painted some on the walls of her room. That's how punk she is.
What, did they actually mention safety pins? Because I feel like I don't.
Oh yes.
Oh okay.
Yes, they do. So she's missing. So one of the characters is her bunkmate. What the fuck
Tracy.
Was her name?
I have no
the tall
idea.
One? The tall, poor one?
Who
had like a weird kind of lesbian crush on her?
Louise is her counselor.
So Louise, okay, so her bunkmate, she's got a bunkmate. So, okay, one of the things about this book is it's bad. Women of all possible ages are represented as primary
between
point of view characters
and 38.
In this book. It really is like, you've got Barbara and her bunkmate who each have some point of view stuff and they're like 13. Then you've got the woman who's like in her early 20s, is in college. Then this woman in her later 20s who's a young professional named Clary Starling. And then there is a...
She's
oh, wait,
Polish
is that not her
Clary
name?
Starling. Oh, yeah. Clary Starlinski. Starlinowska.
Yeah, I was wondering what kind of a name Utita was, and how it was spelled, since we all audiobooked this. I had to like look up, what is that?
It's a city. It's Utica. It's upstate New York, actually. That's where she's from.
Yeah, Karen runs it, right?
Wait, what?
From The Office.
Oh, yeah, right.
So then there's the, like, so there's the young professional woman, and then there's the young mom, who is actually the mom. She's the older mom. She's the mom, but, you know,
they call those
shows her... when she's 17, And when she's 17 and meets her husband and then a young mom and then, you know, slightly older mom and stuff like that. And then even there's a grandma. So it's basically, that's the point of the book. And oh, by the way, oh, did you say that they were at summer camp? I think you did. So you know what they have a lot of at summer camp? Dogs and boats. This is Dogs and Boats by Beard Brewing. And this is a 9.1% alcohol double IPA. Even though it, because it has like a very summer vibe, I thought it was either going to be a summer ale or like a shandy. But no, no, it is a 9% double IPA. So it's the good shit.
Mm.
Alcohol and boats always go great together.
True.
Spoiler.
Why is the rum gone? Okay, so, and then, okay, so the book starts out with, you know, Barbara is missing, and there's a little bit of a, there's a search, and she is the daughter of the rich family that owns the camp, but then there's all of this backstory, and it jumps back and forth in time in between characters quite a lot. At first, you think the main character is actually the one in the college girl in her 20s. What's her name? I really have no idea.
Louise?
Louise.
Louise.
And then there's another girl in the cabin, but she kind of disappears pretty quickly.
Annabelle.
Yeah, Annabelle.
Annabelle, yeah.
She's only there to be annoying like one time.
Well, and then at the end you find out that she was important. So yep. Important she wasn't in the book, but she was. She was.
She was MacGuffining from off page.
Well, they're on a lake. They do a lot of fishing, and the thing they mostly catch is red herring.
I know. There were so many red herrings in this book, and it's like, is this another red herring, or is it a red herring, where there's actually the person who did it?
It's a still, school of them, and you're like, but it's summer camp. So anyway.
And you're still wrong, yeah. We don't have schools of red herrings till September.
Impossible to guess the ending, because it's so fucking dumb.
Yeah. You know, you wouldn't guess it because it was stupid. Not predictable, but stupid.
You could get you could guess half the ending.
I mean, let's figure out which half we guessed later.
Barbara's missing, and there's the search, and they bring in the police, and then you get all this backstory about this girl's older brother disappeared when he was a child. Yet at this summer camp, well, not quite at the summer camp, but on the same grounds, because the big family like mansion compound is also right there next to the summer camp. On the same lake and stuff like that. So he kind of disappeared in the same place during the summer, and he was never found. And of course, the mom was devastated, as were a lot of people. But there's, and so you get this backstory about, oh, the police like blamed the wrong person, but it's this guy that died of a heart attack, so he can't defend himself. And his wife is all mad. And then a lot of things.
The big thing it sets up is like the. First off, the writing of this book is not super great. Did you notice that every man is tall and handsome and has something to hide?
Well, I mean, that's how I feel anyway.
Yeah, aren't we all? That's what my mom said.
Really, that's what she said to me, too.
Wow, mom's standards are low, Nate, because Jimmy is not tall.
I am not tall.
Maybe in, like, Japan. But it's like, I don't know, maybe made me think of this... Norm MacDonald thing. He was like, you know, they say beauty is only skin deep, which is true. You know, picture like a really hot guy. He's got like a chiseled jaw, and a mane of hair, and he's tall, and he's got broad shoulders and a narrow waist. Anyone else getting horny? And he's got these big quads. If you skin that guy, he's awful. But I do like when he pauses. Like, anyone else getting horny? But in the book, every man is like Peter Van Laar. He's tall and imposing and handsome in an off-puttish way. Every man is tall and handsome.
And all but one of them are terrible.
Yeah, because the real villain in this story is patriarchy. But
yeah.
And kind of misogyny is the real mastermind of the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And class and classism. Because we find out in the tremendous backstory diarrhea flood... that the Van Laars, old Dutch money, they're Dutch masters, and they have lived on the estate for many years, and it was only like after like five generations they thought to name a child anything other than Peter, which I can only assume had a J in the spelling because they're Dutch.
Pieter.
And yeah, Pieter. And they had Peter 1, Peter 2, Peter Luger, Peter Pan, and a bunch of Peters. And then they had Bear ultimately.
Yeah, and they don't say like
any more Peters.
They don't say like, you know, junior or the third or the fourth. They say Peter 2, Peter 3, because they're fucking sociopaths.
Wasn't Bear actually Peter 4, but they just didn't call him that?
He was Peter 4.
But they they are a family that's obsessed with appearances.
Well, they also call in their shot that he'd be a big, burly, gay guy. Never got to find
it. It's a nominative determinism. Like, we're going to raise this one in the woods. And it's just true nothing but flannel. It's like a brawny man come to life.
He'll eat nothing but soup.
I mean, he'll eat nothing. But he is what he eats, Peters. Why, Daddy? But they are obsessed with their appearances in the, you know, in that old upstate New York Dutch banking money. This is the one book where the evil banking villains are clearly not Jews, which I kind of liked. That was refreshing. Because they are
the
bankers.
One original thing about this book. Yeah. Yeah.
The enemies were the Dutch. Laser, but
it's a Dutch space laser, Marjorie. Yeah. Get it right.
Yeah, the Dutch space laser, it could light your blunts from space.
It cuts everything in half.
The whole book, they're like, let's dredge the lake. We're looking for clogs. Like, how could a lake clog? Like, no, the shoes. What? Anyway, so they are real
the shoes
asshole
did this. Rich
people. The shoes cause all the wars.
All right, Mel.
The shoes will not replace us. So they... Did you ever see, there was like, I feel like it was a skit or an online comic about that with Mel Gibson where he was drunk, but like he had warts on his feet from the shoes and he was slurring. He's like, the shoes cause all the warts.
It's like a Robot Chicken bit.
It could very well have been that. So the whole point we learned about this family is they're all nightmares because they're obsessed with their image and they're obsessed with, you know, having their debutante balls and bullshit at their unironically named mansion called Self-Reliance that they employed every manual laborer in Rensselaer County or wherever the fuck they are to make it. And Peter is cold and detached, like the Dutch, and he does not care about his wife. And it's like, oh, another kid missing. What are the neighbors going to think? Thank God it's a Sunday and banks are closed.
Well, they were going to send her away to the Elon school for being a goth, so or being a punk. And it was looking bad. But yeah. Do you guys know about the Elon school?
No idea.
No.
It's one of those, like, you know, camps where they send, you know, teens that need
troubled teens.
They got busted a few times. I don't think they're still around, but they might be, for having like child fighting rings and like just abusing the shit out of all of the kids, like relentlessly. And many of the kids that went there ended up being just wrecks from all the abuse that they suffered. So she's gonna have a good time.
Well, that's discipline.
Yeah,
but also the modern pedagogical ideas of group work.
Yeah, you know, it's best to learn in groups.
So there's a ton of backstory about Bear and how he disappeared. Well, when he disappeared and the search for him and about, you know, and so it's going sort of the middle of the book is a lot going back and forth between Yudita, the police detective, the nation's first woman police detective, and you know, talking about looking for Barbara in the search for Barbara, but then also looking at, well, back when Bear disappeared, everybody's comparing it to that. And there's all this like backstory about, oh, the family's bringing in Captain, whatever his name.
I
was going to call him Captain Lawrence, but, you know, Captain Lawrence to say they're just to deal with the captain directly. And it's like, well, I guess if you're rich, you can do that. But all the other, like, you know, more junior detectives are like, no, So they're going to open up the investigation into Bear as well, because like this is, you know, when there's now a coincidence like this, when there's now both kids disappear.
They're resistant to open up, to even talk about that for a really long time. the guy in charge, he's like, that's done. Focus on this new kid.
Because he's allegedly the one that closed the case, and he doesn't, you know, it made his career finding, you know, not really even, they didn't find the kid. They just said like, oh, the dead guy probably did it. Case closed.
Yep, because there was enough circumstantial evidence and he could not defend himself. So he resists that for a while, but like as the reader, you know, like these are going to be connected.
There was some very questionable police work.
The evidence was he was the last one to see him. That's it.
And he didn't mention it initially. He was like, oh, yeah, I did see that kid. And they're like, that means your rape killed him. But they're like, we got the second kid. It's like two kids dying by the lake. That's like a double dunk. This is double dunk juice from other half. And it's a double dry hopped IPA. Yep, that's what it is. It's very good.
Correct.
No, so the police detectives, they're like resistant to reopen the investigation, even though one of the guys is like, it's going to. But you as the reader, it just keeps going back and forth in time and you get all these flashbacks about the other people. So you find out a lot about it as the reader. One of my kind of criticisms of this book is it's different from a regular detective novel because the detective doesn't actually uncover all the clues. You're just told them because the narrative just goes back in time into another person's perspective and just shows you what happened instead of the you know, main character like discovering it or having to work to discover it in any way. I mean, there is some of that. They discover some of the clues and some of the facts, but a lot of it is just like, I'm just going to tell you a story from multiple people's perspective that unfolded over many years about a bunch of stuff that happened. And then, oh, and we're back to the detective who's looking into this exact thing.
God, imagine if we had to read those things twice. Like, we had to hear it, and then someone told her, oh, this book would have never ended.
It was one of the hardest things, the most confusing parts, was the time jumps were, they jumped around kind of randomly sometimes. Where it'd be like, here's a scene from the police officer investigating the case, and then it'll jump back to the Valium mom's like early life as a child before she met the husband, and then, you know, when she met him and then all that, and then it jumps to after Barbara disappeared but at the camp still, and then it'll jump back to before Barbara disappeared at the camp with Barbara, and then it'll jump back to the police officer, and then it'll jump to the search for the kid,
the bunk mate.
Yeah,
and the bunkmate. Thinking, not even telling the story of what it was like to be bunkmates with her, but just remembering, like, oh, hey, when we had to do our survival training or whatever it was called, and happened, and she kissed that boy, and I was mad, and then she stabbed herself. I mean, but it's just like, just told. It's just like, it wasn't discovered by the main character. Yeah. There was no work to discover it. It was just like, the author is like, here's a thing that happened.
It wasn't so much a mystery as it was a story that one of the characters is a cop.
I mean, Judita is only introduced like a third of the way into the book, it felt like.
Yeah, she's not in it at first.
Yeah.
Like, she kind of like becomes the main character.
Hard to tell if there even is a main character.
Like Phantom Menaced it. There's like a bunch of shit in the beginning. Like, this doesn't matter, does it?
Who's the Sebulba of this book?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And well, we already mentioned the banking, so there's Watto. But we, I don't know if it's fair to say this is a detective book or it's just a book with detectives, because it's more like a thriller. It's like a Dan Brown book. It's just like every time somebody gets close to something interesting, change perspective, change time. So you're like, oh, I need to keep going.
I mean, you're right. But in a Dan Brown book, it really is the main character working to discover the plot, solve the mystery the entire time. Whereas this really isn't that. It was just people going back and here's what happened to me. It's not just like, I remember what happened to me in 1958. It just goes back to June 1958. Wine mom is blah, 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 blah. What was her name again?
Alice.
Mrs. Alice is having a hard time adjusting to having a newborn, you know, that kind of thing.
There are some scenes where Judita gets, she talks to somebody and they like tell her the story, but they just don't repeat it.
Well, she's the one that gets the serial killer to talk and eventually reveal, like the things that become the resolution. But, you know, it's kind of shit out at the end.
Yes. I mean, it does. It shits out from the very beginning. There's a lot of shitting happening, especially with the title of the book and the one passage where that's introduced. But
I don't even remember where that came from.
Nor do I.
It's with the safety training crap in the woods, because they say panic comes from the word Pan, the god of the woods. I don't know if that's true, and I don't know if that really matters.
I never thought of him as a god of the woods. I thought he was a little horny goat guy.
He's a god of fucking... I mean, do they have forests in Greece? Isn't it like
he's the god of the wild and nature and shit like that. Shepherds and flocks and rustic music. Oh, and impromptus.
Oh god, so it's jam bands. it's Humphreys McGee. Yeah. What plays whenever Pan comes around?
Oh no.
You're like, oh no, I sense a solo. The 19-minute solo coming. I forgot what I was going to say now because of that's how much jam band music blows. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, he just introduces the stuff. I think a difference is in the Dan Brown books is that, what's his fucking name? Robert Langdon. He's like about to say, like, Robert Langdon already knew the password. End of chapter. And it's like, then it just goes somewhere else. So you just get like cock blocked for another page. Like, they just don't tell you.
I know. Next page. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. I knew it. Same as my luggage. No, but it leaves you in suspense where you want to turn the page and find out. Yeah.
Anyway, whereas this changes, like, because it's like building a couple of different storylines. I don't know. I thought it was, of all the things to complain about the book, I didn't think that was like a major one. I feel like it was a pretty by the numbers thriller kind of thing to do.
Yeah. It was fine. It was just, there's a lot in there that I was not relevant to the case, because really this book is not about the case. It's about how hard it is to be a woman in the 60s and 70s, which is true. It's 100% true, but it was
a time, the book for our time.
Yeah. But it was a lot of every scene about with Alice, where she's just like a shell of a person. She's just valiumed out and just, you know, sad because her kid was gone. Like, yeah, that makes sense. I understand why you're sad her kid was gone. But then they like go back to when she was young, and she was like, Alice wasn't good at anything. She didn't like anybody. She had no hobbies and no friends. And then she had a kid. It's like, oh, okay, well.
But she was the pretty one.
Yeah, that was it. And I was like, I mean, it's, look, three dudes talking about why, you know, about this book is always going to get some bullshit. But normally in books like this, where it's about like how women are held back, like what is she being held back from? Like, other characters are being held back from doing something, or like she was good at something and she couldn't do it because she was a woman, or she was, you know, she wanted to do this thing, or she cared about something, or she didn't want to have a kid at all. But Alice didn't have any character at all besides the kid died. That was it. That was the extent of her character. And she felt nothing.
Well, Alice was kept from doing anything she wanted. She couldn't parent the child the way she wanted to.
The only thing she wanted to do was parent the child.
And so that was taken.
But
from
only the
her
first
from
child.
Beginning. Yeah, well, the second child, she was too fucking looted out to know anything.
Yeah.
But she was, and then she grew up, you know, she's also from like a socially striving family that they had her like come out to her, you know.
Debutante ball.
I mean, it was the 50s.
So she was born in the like late 30s.
Yeah.
You know, and so like there was no question of her going to college, because she wasn't a very smart one or a lesbian. So they were like, you're not going to college.
Yeah.
You're going to go marry a rich guy. I mean, I joke and say like patriarchy is the villain of the book, but like that is kind of like all the women are held back or misjudged or mischaracterized in some way. But all the other female characters are like trying to, they're like attempting to be trailblazers.
They're
and
doing
her
something.
Thing was like, I just want to you know, be a mom to my kid, and they won't even let her do that, which was like the traditional one job a woman had, and like that's like the one job she could have counted on having is being a mom.
Yeah, maybe it's a class thing where, you know, things on top of other things is, yes, women do that, but we're rich, so like you have to let the nanny do that. Like, you don't do anything. You entertain.
And I don't want to sound like Luigi Mangione, but like, I also don't care about rich people problems too much. So like,
no.
I didn't find much sympathy for her.
The other characters were better, but it, you know, that there was so much about Alice.
And then her fucking sister, that bitch was fucking her husband the whole time. Didn't matter. just another one of those things. Like, who killed the kids?
Yeah. Or didn't.
So you get a bunch from, so Louise, who is the college girl and who's a camp counselor, is like, first, she watched this whole thing about her and her boyfriend.
Well, she went to 1 year of college and had to drop out because she was poor.
Yeah, she, it's all the stuff about her and her boyfriend, about, what's it, Jean-Paul?
Jean-Paul?
It's Jean-Paul like the Pope, because they're a good Catholic family. He's not French.
I don't know. I thought it was spelled, was it Jean-Paul? I thought it was Jean-Paul.
I thought it was John Paul.
They're like way upstate.
No, it's John Paul. It's John Paul like the Pope, because I actually read the book for the first few chapters and then I switched to the audiobook. But yeah, it's like they named him that because they're, you know, Catholic or some shit.
But there was no John Paul yet. John Paul II becomes Pope in the 70s, and John Paul I was Pope for like 9 minutes in the 70s.
Yeah, they named him after the first one.
He was born in the fucking in the 50s.
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they named him that. Why else would they name a character?
They named
John
him
Paul?
After their two favorite Beatles.
Ringo? And
his brother was Ringo George.
His name was Ringo Ringo?
Yeah.
Ringo and Pete.
So anyway, there's the girl and her boyfriend, and they like fight, but she's also like making out with the other dude, the cook.
Well, she almost did.
Who just deals a little bit of drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he punches John Paul, and he's all like beat up, and then the next morning is when the girl's discovered is gone, and he tries to leave, and he gets... You know, he's driving drunk on the highway and gets pulled over, and he's got the girl's bloody clothes in his trunk. This is where some very questionable police work happens, where he says, no, Louise told me to do it. And so they let him go. They let him out on bail. And it's like,
well, his dad
this
is a very powerful
only...
lawyer.
Now,
he's
this
also
ends...
rich.
Right. No, I get it. But... ended up all being a red herring for reasons that are explained in the plot. But still, it's like the only physical evidence in the case of a girl who's gone missing, and you're just gonna like let him go on like $100 bail? Like they would not have done that.
Even at the end of the book, there's a part where they had to let him go because like there was no charge. They couldn't charge him. It was like, yes, they can fucking absolutely charge you with having the bloody clothes of a disappeared person. Like,
yes. At least.
They have to prove it in court, but they could charge you with that. Come on.
And he says, oh no, Louise, my girlfriend, told me to do it or whatever, told me or she put it there or something like, no one's ever going to believe the young woman murdered the other girls and not the guy. I mean, obviously the creepy douchey guy is who everyone suspects is going to do it because 98% of the time you'd be right.
And we find out he beat up the girlfriend in the past, but he's also a rich guy who's mistreating her, and we're supposed to get all distracted by that. But let me remind you, it's 1975 upstate New York. They couldn't find a black person to blame. So they're like, this case is hard. Damn it.
We really
Let's
have
find
to
a
work
woman.
Here.
And also, that sentence you just said, that what happened in his storyline, took place over about 80% of the book, because so much not case stuff happens in the middle, that it's so spread out that it's just like, oh right, there's a case happening too.
Yeah, the actual case was only like 4 days, but
yeah,
there's still like you find out about so much other stuff.
Well, because it's really two cases, as you said earlier. It's a double thriller, which turns out to be bad. No
more. It's twice as not thrilling.
Well, they have to find that PYT because. You would think the bloody clothes would be black and white, but it's not.
Well, he beat it.
But they couldn't free Willy.
Is that song called Free Willy?
I believe the song is called Say You'll Be There or something like that. Is the Free Willy song?
Something like that. That's the Spice Girls?
Maybe I Will Be There or something. It's something Be There. It's a jam. It's a fucking great song.
No, is it I'll Be There, like an early Jackson 5 song?
Will you be there? Absolutely. Will you be there? Thank you.
Okay. Spotify.
Off the wall. Okay. So they then, I don't even know what then is. But another thing that's happening, one of the original red herring in the book is that they're like, did you hear? Murderin' Stew is on the loose. Whatever the fuck his name was.
Jake the Slitter.
Jake Slitter. Yeah. It was
Jacob Sloiter, because everyone in this book is Dutch.
And he's broken out of his windmill and he's still on the loose.
He's stolen all the tulips.
Yeah, he cuts the mouths off his victims.
Oh, that's horrifying.
And But so he, there's, you get a couple
of killing women, but only dykes. Oh, sorry. Okay. So
you get some point of view chapters from him where he's just like hiding in cabins. And then eventually he gets arrested. And they're like, and then this is where the book goes full Silence of the Lambs. Cause it's like, you've got this evil serial killer. He's like, I will only talk to a woman. And so she goes and talks to him and he's like, are you a virgin? And so, and then
smell your cunt.
Would you camp
precisely?
I'd camp me.
I'd bunk me hard.
And so she has to go in and talk to him, and then they end the interrogation early, and she's like all mad. I was like, no, I could have gotten it to talk.
She and then great big fat campers.
Her mother did think so, yeah. Her mother was always like, she keeps trying to eat bread. We can't have her eating bread.
It's peasant food. We only have canapes. And caviar, you know, Dutch food.
And then with no real reason, the serial killer is like, okay, I will tell you what I know. Why would he decide to open up at that moment? There's no real good reason, but he's like, okay, I did. And we're getting close to the end of the book at this point. And he's like, I didn't kill the kid. I didn't kill Bear, but I did see something. And it's like, really? He was there. And he describes witnessing. So they like take, oh yeah, I'll show you where the grave is. And they like take him out to the property. And he's like, he's across the woods under that big, under the mountain. And then there's a cairn. There's some stones. You got to dig right under there. And then they're right. And then he's right. And they dig under there. And there's a corpse of a child of the right side, of the right, you know, right age. And then 2 pages later, yep, dental records confirm it's Bear, whose, you know, body's been missing now for like 18 years or something like that.
It's like 10.
It's 14. 61 and 75.
Oh, right. 75, years. Yeah.
Whatever. But he's like, I didn't do it.
Of the guy who did it, the buried her. Guy who buried him.
Oh, yeah. I was hiding out in the woods. Oh, in the cave in the woods right over here, because this used to be my family's land. And I just happened to notice, and I just happened to be there at the time to see a man carrying the corpse of a child bury him. I just happened to see that. So he opened up that he saw this thing for no reason, because even though it's a crazy serial killer, and then he happened to see the most improbable thing that's like ever happened, and he just happened to be there. It was really dumb. And first it's like, oh, it was an older man. It was like a middle-aged guy.
But a townie. It wasn't one of the rich people.
That's what he says, yeah. Now, how can you really tell that? I don't know.
He knew how to hold a shovel.
He was wearing Carhartts.
The rich guys.
Must have been it.
He didn't have his manservant dig the grave for him.
Yeah. Rich people don't know how to dig. He dug like a local.
He knew that it was loamy, the soil.
But it turned out it was the guy who ran the camp, who's an absent character in the current timelines because he's got dementia. And his daughter, who's definitely gay, is running the camp for him. And she, you know, just wants to do her thing and camp out.
But then there's another scene from Silence of the Lambs where the Utica, also known as Clary
Starling,
is like...
puts the sunscreen on its skin.
It's like, I know where he is. He's in... It was the sound I heard in the above in the barn... up top, and then she goes by herself. She's like, nobody else is. She's like, I know he's there. I know what's going on. So she goes there during the night with a gun. She takes out her gun. She's like, breaks in, freeze. And that exact scene is the exact scene where Clarice Starling is like, nobody's believing me, and I've figured out where Buffalo Bill is. I was going to say Wild Bill, where Buffalo Bill is, and then she has to confront him. It's that exact same scene. So, like, this whole plot line was Silence of the Lambs.
Except instead of a serial killer, it's an old man with dementia.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, hi.
Yeah, he's like, where's Bear? She's like, oh, geez, I got a lot of backstory to fill you in on. But also, I feel like, and she's also, like, this is, like, her first case, but she's, like, Polish Columbo. She's, like, always getting people, like, the one more thing question. Like they don't want to tell her anything. They're always like, listen, poor girl, this case is closed. Go back to your fucking pierogies. And then she's like, all right, yeah, that's fair.
Meanwhile, she's got a 2-hour commute because her dad doesn't want to let her leave the house by herself because she's a woman.
Well, she can't live outside the house because she's a single woman.
Even though she's a state trooper investigator.
Yeah, but she's not been investigating dick, so she doesn't really know, you know, too much about it.
No, she is a virgin.
Stanislav wants for her.
She tells the serial killer that she is a virgin. And she says, you know, and she meant it. It's like, oh, okay.
He's like, nice. Want help with that?
But I won't.
Which, by the way, we're supposed to assume, like, I thought, because it's like, obviously he didn't kill the kid from the beginning when they talk about, oh, and there's Slutter who killed the kid. And you're like, no, he didn't. That it was going to turn out he didn't do any of those other murders. But no, he actually was just... Well, the Hannibal Lecter.
They never got him for any of the murders, they said.
He never confessed to
anything, even though they got him on like evidence. But then it's like, well, shit, maybe he didn't do the other things. I thought it was going to turn out that there was some sort of like other... It's like, no, he just didn't do this one, but he conveniently saw it. Very stupid.
Did a lot of other murders, yeah.
But his MO was women. And they're like, well, he wouldn't have killed a boy. Because they have that Hollywood thing where serial killers can only... They're like only... capable of one thing.
They have a type usually.
Yeah.
I guess if you're into it for the sexual aspect of murdering women, a little boy is probably not going to do it for her. Even they're like, no thanks. Go home, kid. I'm not a creep.
Please.
I have standards.
Is your sister home? That was very stupid. And we've skipped so much, but
doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, none of it matters. You're right.
Well, how does it even come out in the end who did kill the boy? I can't even remember.
Okay, so Yudita is talking to Vic, the old guy.
Oh, Dementia Man.
And she asks him, did you kill Bear? He's like, kill? No, but I helped, or something like that. And it's like, what? And then it just turns to flashback, and you see what happens. Whereas Alice, the mom, I think it was all on the same day. Alice, the mom... discovers her husband in bed with her sister. And she's like, instead of like, but they're asleep, so they don't know. And so instead of her like flipping out and be like, what the fuck? And, or just like, you know, being the shit out of them, she's just like, accepts it. And she's like, I guess I can't, you know, disrupt my life here just for this. But she is now on like multiple glasses of gin and, you know, three Valiums. And she's like, Bear, I want to go out on the go and take a boat ride with me?
Canoeing,
yeah. And she, let's go out on the canoe. So she goes out and you got a little bit of this earlier where she had discovered them and she's wanting to go out on the boat, and then she kind of like wakes up in a bed, and then she's like, "Huh, I feel like I was wet and then dried off. This is a little bit weird." But then at this point, you find out that
says. Well, when I propositioned her. And then I was like, you ready for daddy? She's like, I feel like I was wet. And then I dried off.
Now I am definitely not.
It is Saharan down there. Oh, no. One of the other red herrings was, did the grandfather kill him? Because the grandfather and him went out for a hike. And he's a cunt because he's a rich guy. And he's like, he won't talk to the... He's like, I already talked to a cop and it was a man. I won't talk to you, woman. And so we're supposed to think he's an asshole. And then somebody said that the kid was like, I don't like my grandfather. And then he died or disappeared. So you're supposed to think the grandfather did it. That was like another, when you're like, wait, they were involved, but not how you think.
So you actually find out that when Alice was like, I'm going to, Bear, well, why don't you go out on the lake with me in this boat? And they go out on the lake and a snow squall breaks out and they like capsize and the kid drowns. You would think living next to a lake, they would have given him swimming lessons, but you know, whatever. It was a different time.
He got stuck in his clothing, got caught in the oarlock or something like that.
Yeah. He got dragged under.
Okay, sure. Anyway, but the final, what you find out what happened to him is like, she killed him by accident, but she was so drunk and high that she didn't remember. And that's actually what happened. Like, she doesn't remember. So the whole thing later about Bear is missing, we don't know where he is. Oh, that weird gardener, he must have killed him. Or it was the weird serial killer. She's like, oh, okay. And then just on a...
Yeah, they gaslight the shit out of her.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, but also there are hints like, oh, it felt like the family like wanted to stop the search kind of too early. Wouldn't you never stop searching and stuff like that? I'm like, yeah. And so what happened is the father, that's Peter the Third, finds the boy's body, swims out and finds the boy's body. He's like, who's dead? But, and this all happens in just like two pages. He decides, oh, it'll ruin the bank. And it'll ruin our reputation. We can't let this happen. And then Vic, who is still like, you know, middle-aged man is like, is there and sees it. And Peter, who's like, I employ you. You're in like, you need to help me. You need to get rid of the body. We need to pretend he just disappeared. And Vic is like, okay. But in that moment, he's like, cause I depend on this man for everything. So I guess I have to, for my whole livelihood. So I guess I have to do this.
But it's not just the employer employee thing. Vic and the other, whatever number Peter this is, were like brothers, and Vic is in the will. Like, he's supposed to get stuff from,
he's supposed to get the camp.
So he's like, if I fuck this up, they will totally screw me and ruin my child's future. Because this is our family's land.
Was also, at this point, I guess, TJ, the one who is his daughter who's running the camp now, she's like in her early, mid-20s and later things. So she's probably like
27.
About Bear's age. She was like Bear's friend. He knew his daughter was different and wouldn't make it out there in the real world. So they had to make sure that he had his thing set up for her. It's like, he knew his 10-year-old daughter was gay, so he needed to cover up this child murder so she wouldn't be persecuted. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, every time they went out on like the nature hikes and they were like, look at that beaver dam. She was like, tell me more about those beavers. And then they were like, Jesus, TJ, that's not... You don't remember that passage? I feel like it was...
Oh, that was in there, yeah. It was like every two chapters. Yeah, it was kind of really...
It was a lot.
Overdone.
Did you notice that there's no carpet in the... The rug has been munched bare.
Also, we know that TJ is gay because another small camper who was a chronic bedwetter, so he's up late at night, saw Barbara going into TJ's cabin all the time at night. And so Yudita is like, hey, you've been touching girls? She's like, I don't do that with the camper. I'm like that, but not with them. And she's like, okay.
And Lisa almost lezzes out with her at one point. But yes. TJ turns her down.
She's like, I'm your boss. So don't.
Eat my pussy. What?
Yeah, you have to engage with your own large storyline about your alcoholic mom and your sad brother and the other cop who like used to date your mom but is also the only good guy in the story who's also helping out Judy/Yudita. And he's a good guy, and his wife won't give him his messages because a lady left them. It's like, what? That really fucking happened.
Yeah, and then when he finds out, he's like, I left you a message last night. He's like, oh, yeah, that would never. Yeah.
She wasn't going to give me that.
Yeah, nope. Thanks. Good try, though.
And then they discover who actually killed Bear. They found the body and they actually, you know, discover who actually did it. And then it's like, wait, what about that other girl that's been missing since page one of the book?
She gets
epiloged. Oh, yeah, we should get back to that after all this. Yeah, and then
really, I was looking at the progress thing. I was like, 95%. Like, all right, they solved one finally.
Did they put the main plot in the epilogue? Just like,
this book is very adventurous that what you thought was the plot was actually like a bookend to like another book.
The plot is the frame.
That is inventive. It's got an exoskeleton plot.
And so Judy figures it out, but she doesn't tell anyone. So she realizes that TJ has been a friend of the family this entire time, like for years, and is you know Barbara's only friend, and sees how badly her family is treating her, and so she makes this a plan with Barbara to like literally help her run away. So in the very beginning of the book, when the police officers are like, it's probably just a runaway. She probably just ran away from home. That was actually correct. That was a correct guess, but you don't even find out till literally the last like four pages. So they actually snuck out, Barbara snuck out in the middle of the night, and TJ, and so the family also owns a cabin in the woods way up north, in the middle of a cabin on an island in the middle of the lake, and so that's where Barbara is. TJ brought her there in the middle of the night, brought a canoe and canoed her out to the island, and then Barbara's supposed to stay there till she's 18. She's only like 13. It's like, wait, she's supposed to stay alone on an island for 5 years? That would be like a war crime if it happened, if it was a prisoner of war and you did that to them. But no, this girl would just rather be alone.
He taught her, do you remember when he's like, let's go through the things you need to know? And it's like, how do you get water? She's like, boil it. And he's like, good. What happens if you get hurt? She's like, there's a book with instructions. That's her prep.
Yep.
That's it. That's what she has.
Well, Barbara kept talking about her secret boyfriend. She didn't tell her what it was. It turns out her secret boyfriend was just like survival woodcraft lessons with TJ at night or some shit.
But there was like a BVL and JPM heart in her room. So you're supposed to think that the secret boyfriend was John Paul.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't.
Because there's a whole other stupid subplot about how she had painted cool things on her wall, like safety pins and Sid Vicious or something. And then the mom painted over it with pink. And the girl was like, can you believe my bitch mom painted my walls? That's it. I'm faking my death. Really happened. That's in the book.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So what were those initials? Did she just paint that there
because it was a setup. Because
it was literally she
bled all over her own clothes on purpose, and then they stashed him in the guy's trunks. So they would think it was him.
Yeah, she got cut when they were doing
on purpose.
Safety. Yeah, the survival trip.
She was skinning a squirrel.
Cut open a coconut or something. Yeah, and she bled everywhere. And they're like, Jesus Christ, it gets really punk.
And she's like, I'm good. And he's like, you're bleeding a lot. I was like, no, I've got it wrapped up. Let me bleed all over my clothes for another 2 days, and then I'll go get it checked out. He's like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. So then she just bleeds all over her own clothes, so that those are the clothes that TJ sticks in the trunk. Because they don't like TJ because he beat the shit out of Louise. So it's like...
Jay don't like John Paul.
Yeah, TJ doesn't like John Paul because he beat the shit out of Louise. So they frame... John Paul. And maybe he won't go to jail, but if he does, it was beating her up anyway. So it was like, two birds, one bush. Wait, no.
So Yudita, so the very final two pages of the book is Yudita figures out, she looks at the map on the board and she's like, that little pin in the island in the middle of the lake, that's probably it. So she goes there, one Saturday morning, drives there, goes out for a swim, swims over, and she sees Barbara there and just says, are you okay? She's like, yeah, are you okay? Sure. And then
says, do you want to be left alone?
Oh, yeah.
She goes, yes. She goes, all right, cool. Deuces. That's what happens.
See you in 5 years.
And she peeks back. She's like, it's like she was back in the trees, just waiting 4 years, 331 more days till she could shit in a toilet of running water.
She shits right in the river.
She's not a teenage boy. The joy of that would wear very quickly for a teenage girl, I feel like. I mean, that could sustain me for weeks, just that one act, but I don't know about her. And then you find out somewhere in this part that they can't charge... Somehow they can't charge the guy who had the missing girl's bloody clothes in his car with any crime. And
he didn't do a crime actually. So,
but they don't know that. They don't know that. Right, the only person that knows is Yudita, and everyone else, like the Vanlore girl's dead, I guess. And then they just like let the one witness go because his dad has money. And then they let. They figured out bears. The whole story is just spilled out there. But the statute of limitations on like accidentally drunkenly drowning your kid during a squall has passed. So they can't charge Alice. Yeah, that sounds like
killing a child and then covering it up. There's a statute of limitations on that?
On killing the kid, yes. On covering it up, no.
Yeah, on a conspiracy, no.
Actually, there was, but because they had lied to the police recently about it, because they were asked about it, that means it's the statute, and the statute had reset.
Okay.
Yeah, they January 6th, these fucking guys. They're like, you know what? We're throwing the book at you hard, and no one's bailing you out. No, they really come at this. They're good. Vengeance for the working men and women of Delaware County, New York, or wherever the hell this is.
Yeah, I don't understand how that would ever really happen.
I mean, they can't charge. I mean, the old man who's demented, they're like, what's the point of that? You know, he can't even move.
Yeah.
So it's like when they like drag like a 102-year-old to German before the human rights court.
Well, they still do that.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's great. And it's like, fuck that guy.
It's just, I think it's unrealistic that they would actually charge the rich family with conspiracy for covering it up with anything more than a slap on the wrist. Like, it's that feels more like wish fulfillment from like a class war perspective.
But they let the young guy get away with it. So like it wasn't even consistent. It wasn't like at the end of the movie where all the bad guys get caught.
Yeah, they just get their reputation sullied.
Like, there goes all your investments in pork bellies, whatever the fuck they had. And then it ends. What'd you guys think?
I thought, okay, so as far as a thriller, mystery thriller went, it was average. Wasn't bad, but it also wasn't great. It was average. I did recently make fun of those dragon sex books for copying other books. Well, what I said was, you know, every author copies other authors because, you know, you can't ever be totally original, and so it's not really bad. Although, it's different in the thriller genre than through a mystery thriller than lifting a whole plot line from another book from the most famous, probably, thriller that's not written by Dan Brown in the last 30 years. And so I'm like, you really did that? It's a little bit different. But, it's a little bit worse.
That Mindhunter shit, like, that's been in a lot of things, though. Like, Silence of the Lambs may have been the first one, or Manhunter may have been the first one.
But this is specifically copying Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah, with the young female cop and all the other guys don't believe her, yeah.
And having to interview the serial killer, and then the young woman finds out whose it is and has to like break in and try and like confront the murderer. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Oh man, speaking of women, I just remember I looked at one of the few notes I took, and this is the one thing that was never tied up later. When they're getting the dogs to go looking for Barbara Van Laar, do you remember what one of the cops asked her bunkmate for?
Underwear.
He's like, you haven't used panties of her? And she's like, ew. And he's like, it's better for the dogs. It's definitely for the dogs. He's just like, yeah, there's over there, I think there's some panties. He's like, thanks, the dog's going to love this. And then it never, I mean, I don't know if maybe that's true. Maybe the dogs, that helps them. But that was
it has the most scent.
Oh, that smells like her.
Oh, we forgot.
That's a lot of memories.
When
that's my favorite line.
When Louise goes back home to her family to help, you know, take care of her brother, and the poor townie drug dealer Lee shows up after he's been on the run because the cops are looking for him too. And he's like, you know, he has a record for statutory rape, right? And he's like, oh, that doesn't look good for this missing girl. And she talks to him about it. It's like, hey, it wasn't like that. I was 19 and she was 16. She was my boss's daughter. It's like, that's not a good thing either, dude. What? It's like, hey, you know, she was a kid, but she's my boss's daughter. Wasn't anything creepy. He's like, what the fuck, man?
No, it's like one of those, you know, Brazzers videos where it's like, I'm just here to fix the sink. And then the dad is not paying attention. And the girl's like, hey.
But she's still underage.
All of a sudden. It's like, hey, you're really good with the pipe.
Yeah, and then Louise fucks him. For reasons I don't really understand still.
It was to get back at John Paul, who she learned has been fucking Annabelle, that character that didn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
But it was in the beginning, and in that John Paul and her have been engaged, but secret engaged, where there's no ring and she never gets to see his family or go with him to the fancy people events.
And she does not allow up at the house to visit him, where he's staying at the house.
Yeah, so he's stringing her along, and he's just being some rich, you know, dickhead who, like, studied something. I forgot what he studied in school, but it was something, like, kind of dumb or kind of pretentious.
He's just a drunk asshole drug addict shithead.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking, oh, no, it was the Alice's sister studied, like, ornithology or something like that, and everyone shit on him for it. Like,
what it was as Alice's sister's husband went back to school for ornithology, and then he died. Bird flu. But yeah, I thought that this book was okay. I think it's the kind of thing they're like, I'm gonna write this thriller, and they're gonna turn it into an okay movie in about 4 years. But when they do the movie, it's not gonna be able to get all the aspects of sexism, because it's gonna be too hard to do it to do it in the same way and get all, like, the, you know, characters' thoughts and shit without adding too much in to make the movie not 9 hours. And so they'll just be left with the murder part or the disappearance part, which is a very thin story. The case really just exists to, like, hold up the central idea of sexism, which is fine. But, like, then when you strip that away, the plot is pretty thin and it's not that interesting. And it's not that, it wasn't that surprising when I found out that the mom did it. She didn't even know she did it, but it was just like, yeah, he was more likely to have died by the rich family had to do something evil. If the rich family did nothing evil in the end, that would be more surprising. So,
but still, the whole plot, a bunch of the plot revolves around, like, who killed Bear or where is Bear? And really, it's kind of like the mom just doesn't remember.
Yeah.
It's like that, it is almost plausible on a bunch of Valium and several drinks. It's almost plausible, except
she was just drinking. The Valium started after Bear, is when she started going to a therapist.
It's the kind of plot where the main character, one of the main characters, technically knows what happens, but they did it, but they just don't remember. It's kind of like,
it's Memento.
Yeah, you can, as Mike, you said in a previous episode, you can't lie to your own memory. It's kind of like you could, the author can just not reveal what happened. The author can not reveal what happened. That's one thing. But it's when the point of view character just doesn't remember, and then later they remember. It's like that's how the plot is resolved, that they just remembered the thing that happened before. It's kind of like it's not satisfying.
Yeah, it feels pretty dumb. It's like whenever you can't, like, remember a word, and you're like, and then you were like, what was that actor's name? And then, like, you get it later, and you're like, oh, yeah, it was
Paul Bettany.
It was Thurgood Marshall, yeah.
Thurgood Marshall?
I couldn't remember a better name.
Actor.
I was trying to remember the fucking name of Carlton from Fresh Prince, but I picked
Alfonso Ribeiro,
a similar black man from history.
Supreme Court Justice Alfonso Ribeiro, of course.
You know, the word for that feeling is anomia, which I can always remember the word anomia, but I fucking have anomia all the time where I just cannot remember the name of the person. It happens to me all the time.
I now know the word anomia, but I'm never going to remember what that word means.
It's one of those cruel pranks, like, you know, naming the thing where you can't pronounce S's, lisp. There's a name for it. There's good news and bad news. We have a name. The bad news is you can't say it. Like it's a curse word? A cuth word? No, you just can't say it at all. I thought the book was pretentious and dumb. And no one should read it ever. Except on a beach where it's like, yeah, it's fine. It'll pass the time. But it was a bad book.
Cliche. I mean, at the same time, there has to be like a million thrillers now, and so on. I've definitely not read all of them, but I feel like a lot of it is like these are very standard plot points.
So many thrillers are cliche. It's part of the
genre. They're by numbers. There's like it's a plot genre. If you just pick the right categories, it kind of writes itself probably. But the thing that sustains them is interesting characters. Right, because like I think it was one of the fucking Dragonborn books where Jimmy mentioned, like, people like to read those because it's formulaic,
Yeah, it's a self-soothing
to recognize
thing.
The pattern. Yeah, it's like the pacifier for man babies. You read these books and you're like, oh yeah, this is a red herring. Like, I know it's not this person, but let's see how it's not this person, right? Like you know they're not going to, you know, whatever. But the characters are interesting. The characters are unique. Here are the characters. I just didn't find any of them particularly interesting. Polish Clarice Starling, the girl who went to Hot Topic once.
Louise was kind of a low budget Joyce Carol Oates character.
Hey, that's a pretentious sentence, but true.
So this book is pretentious too. So whatever. Yeah.
And then every man is shitty except for TJ.
TJ's
a, not TJ. TJ's JT, a woman. What the fuck was his name?
Denny the cop.
He's who's the drug dealer one that helps Lee? The girl escape.
What
was his name?
Lee, which I assume was spelled L-E-I-G-H.
What are you talking
Lee?
About?
Lee? I'm probably getting
Lee,
my name
Lee is the oh. Lee is the guy that...
the cook.
The dude that Louise bangs, who banged the kid, who's on the run, the dealer.
Who's the one that helps Barbara escape? He's the one...
That's TJ.
Guy.
That's TJ. TJ...
That's the lesbian.
TJ the lesbian is the one that helps her escape.
Oh, there's no good men. Sorry.
Denny the cop is the only decent person.
But decent he at guy. One point was trying to bang... Louisa's a drunk mom.
Well, he tried to do that like 15 years ago.
And he was nice about it. She remembered he was the only boyfriend one who was nice. That was decent. That like didn't like molest her
yeah,
or
pretty much.
Beat them up or something.
And now he has a wife and his own kids and his wife won't deliver his messages.
Don't worry. He's a cop in 1975. He's going to straighten her out. I don't know why this would have made any sort of buzz like...
Because it's written and it feels more like, you know, messagey than some other thrillers, but it's still just like stapled onto a flimsy plot. And it's not it's perfectly passable. It's just the one that, you know, broke through for just the fucking random chance.
Because publishers had to promote something.
It's fine.
So they chose this one.
It's perfectly reasonable thriller. I don't know why it was... I mean, honestly, I don't know if it was that big, but I don't pay attention.
It has almost 400,000 reviews or ratings on Goodreads.
Oh, okay. So pretty big. But I mean, yeah, I don't know.
It's not even a year old.
It's not something people will be reading in 3 years.
No.
Maybe when the movie comes out and they do that, people will read it again.
I also just think that the message is, like, not relevant. Like, I mean, yeah... Yeah, 50 years ago, America was sexist? Okay.
America is still pretty
Who
sexist,
doesn't
but
know
not,
that?
Not like this, you know. I mean, in some ways maybe, but I think they're, you know, it's hard to say.
And then they say, and one of the half the characters go, but it was even worse in the 50s. Who is surprised to hear that?
Not the kind of that people message? That would read this book. And those people, the people who would be surprised would say, women shouldn't be reading books.
I think the people who are going to read the book and be surprised to hear that won't pick up on it. They're the ones that are going to finish it and go, what a great twist ending. They're just going to think, this was a great book because it was fun. And it, you know what? It is fun enough. Like, it was engaging. It's just not anything. And I will forget it 3 weeks from now. I will not remember anything.
Yeah. It'll be the thing that comes up on our like books we've done and is like, what was that?
Yeah, because I already know. I'm going to think the God of the Woods, and in my head, I'm just going to think of The Secret History, where they, like, pranced in the woods.
It did have a very fucking, like, Donna Tartt style of writing, but not as good and not as well thought out.
Well, tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Or head over to patreon.com to support the podcast at patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub.
And go to the socials at Drunk Guys Book Club or BC or some variation thereof, and also Goodreads. This is not one of them.
Some people thought so. And check out the Hop Tub Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.